See, so it's all a little piece of work. You could probably hack into any operation.
No, well,
although your ability would be very hampered in Linux, especially if you run any customization for kernels. Because hacking presumes you're working off a standard system.
Yeah, exactly.
So as soon as you customize anything really in the OS,
and none of us engineers running OTB are running OTB software anyway.
The issue is, I don't have anything worth taking.
Exactly. That's kind of my thought.
So, at work, I got a computer that I use during the summer.
Yes.
That's hard. My laptop or my home PC?
Oh, I forgot the handouts. I'll be right back. Okay, here's the handouts.
Oh.
My apologies about forgetting them.
These are double-sided if they're double-sided, right?
Hopefully they're not double-sided.
My Dyna class, we had double-sided, but some of them were on two sheets instead of... So they were two single-sided. Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, I've had problems like that. Okay, before I forget, let me assist all you guys with Max here.
Oh, did you figure it out?
Yeah, I didn't really do very much. I went over to see Dave. See if I can connect here. And Dave went over to the IS guys next door and found me a way to get on a Mac computer there. Okay, so. They gave me an account on the network operations IS little Mac Mini, okay? So it's running 10.6.8. If we have problems with, I need you guys with 10.5 to try this same method, you know, to see that it works. And there really is, it's not like last quarter. All I did was install it and it works. Okay, so here's what you do. I mean, this is gonna seem dumb, but you start Safari. So here's Safari, okay? You search for GNU Octave OS X, okay, OS 10. Let me just see where we came from. I'll find out all the history here. I'll go all the, okay. So here, you search for it here. It says downloading GNU Octave, GNU operating system. So I clicked on this link here, okay? So you go there. And then it says here, you know, you can do the source right here. I don't want the source. And it says down here on Octave Forge somewhere. Up that passage.
OS X Octave Forge.
I don't see it right now.
Bull type OSX.
Right here.
Yes, Octave Forge right below.
Right here, okay. So you go to Octave Forge. Okay. And then you come down here. Oops, too far. Okay, Octave app for Mac OS X. See this right here? This is version 3.4. That's the latest version. Okay, that wasn't there last quarter. So then you go and you download that, and it'll download a dmg file, you know, dmg file for your Mac. You guys all know those things, right? You double click on them and it opens the little disk image, right, Ben?
So which binary do we want?
So yours doesn't work, huh?
And I have
10.6.8. Okay, so all I did. we'll look at your error, I guess. So what did I do? I went, let's see here.
I think this is exactly what I did, like on the first day.
Right, yeah, okay, so far. So here it is, there's the dimage file right here. I double clicked on this, it mounted the disk image, which is probably right. No, I didn't restart. This is a Mac, man, you don't have to restart a Mac. Okay, so let me just go back where I was here. So this is what you see when you get that dimage, okay? So you drag this dude right here over to the applications folder. Okay, now the thing you may not have done is you go down here and you open extras. There's a GNUpot dimage right there. Double click on that. And then you drag this dude right here to applications there. Okay? Then, furthermore, you have to go to applications then. So where's applications, I guess?
Right there.
Oh, yeah, it was right there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, I was looking for it in the side here. Here it is, applications. So I go to applications. And
so
then there's the Octave over here.
Right down below.
Shoot the program.
Right here. Okay, so let me close this Octave right here. I'm going to close all this. And this is the Octave I ran before to test it. Let me close that. Close. Okay, so I just double clicked on this. So it asked me first time, this is an application from the internet, do you really want to run this thing? You know, that's a new thing since I wasn't used to it. An old 10.4, they just know, you know, you download something, you run it, you don't have to ask. But anyway, so here it is. Now, the first time I did a plot command. You know, my classic one to test plot is this. I just go PLOT, oops, no, OT, 1:10, okay? So I just do that. Now the first time I did it, it nothing happened, okay? But the second time I did it, something did happen, and it popped up that graph right there, which is your plot, okay? So what I need you to do is try that out. I didn't do anything special.
So all you have to do is copy the new plot.
New plot to the applications, and then Octave to the applications, and you should be good to go. I mean, at least in this computer, and this was just like a brand new, a virgin install, nothing much there. I mean, so I don't know. Has anybody tried it? Are you guys trying it back there? Didn't work for you, right? Didn't work for you. Okay, application GNU plot unexpectedly quit. Yeah? So, let's report it. I don't know. No, I probably don't need to report it. Forget that. So, broken pipe. Some output may be lost. So let's try. Did you try again? Third time, okay. Octave, so. And you tried the AquaTerm is GNU plot for Coco. Okay, so now let's look at this error right here. See, GNU plot unexpectedly quit. 4.4.3. Did you did copy that GNU plot over there, right?
Yeah.
We can go ahead and
do that again,
check.
Maybe. I don't know. But let's look at this thing here. Well, it looks like it's there.
I don't know. This your what version of you're using 10.6.8? I think that's what this is.
Oh, no, sorry. 10.5.8.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay, I had problems before with 10.5, and so maybe I now need to go get Dave to find me a 10.5 machine. Okay. So let's see. Any of the rest of you guys have any luck yet? We're still trying, huh? So 10.5.8 may be a problem. I had problems last quarter with 10.5. I spent a bit of time fiddling on that, so I need to see if I can get Dave to get me a 10.5.
On a sidetrack, homework 3. You're saying the handout that
the
we
handout
had that
from
was
last
after
day.
The
one from
the
yesterday.
Tutorial.
Yeah,
yeah.
The, yeah, yeah. Do the tutorial and
yeah,
then
that's the
it works.
Yeah.
You're on 10.6, right?
Yep, 10.6.8.
Okay. Nobody else here except Ben has 10.5 with them, right?
So you downloaded Octave from that site, installed both of them,
and it worked.
And
I already
worked.
Had Octave, so I just did
the GNU plot.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you just drop that in the
application?
Yeah. I had a.
And it's not working for you, Alan?
No, it's not. And I have 10.6.8.
When I got the new plot, I put it up on my desktop.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know that I've had that file before.
Uh-huh.
Because when I downloaded it before.
If you look in, let's look here. It says the GNU plot on mine. I wonder if it has AquaTerm. See, because I can see it down there. I just wonder if it's in the...
It's
running right down here, right?
It almost sounds like it's.
I think like GNU plot is AquaTerm.
So I guess the deal is that it doesn't actually link to.
It doesn't. See, Octave sends data to GNU plot,
but
which
you have to open both of them.
I didn't open it. The first time I didn't open it. First time I tried to plot, it didn't work. Second time it opened it. But yeah, try it. Try opening it. See what happens. I don't know. Maybe that would make things work. I don't know. So, at least I got at least one more person up and going. Huh?
I hear that.
This is one of those things, right? It always works for the professor. It won't work for the that's a sad thing.
Isn't that one of Murphy's laws?
Yeah, that is. I think that's one of those things, right?
Number 456 or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
If it's easy for the professor, it won't work for you.
Right, yeah.
The other one is if you find a way that it works for you, the professor will never be able to solve the problem in that way.
Right. Oh yeah. Right. I learned one thing in grad school. I was taking this class in real analysis and major theory. And I'm an engineer, so that's a math class, and I'm not, hadn't taken a bunch of other math classes in graduate school before. It was like the only. Well, I guess I took one other math class there, but I discovered it was all proofs, But I discovered something about proofs and graduate school, and that is. Generally on these proofs, there's a really slick trick, quick way of doing it, right? And it's usually not the most direct route. I mean, what seems like the straightforward way of doing it, right? There's some quick, back door that gets you there like almost immediately and I kind of discovered this thing. If your proof was more than about half a page, the grader wouldn't even read it. And he might as well, forget it, because he's only going to give credit for the slick trick method, not any other way of doing it. Convoluted anything that's convoluted, forget it. But I know in real life, they publish proofs that are hundreds of pages long, but at least in grad school, You know, you're looking for the quick, slick trick method. It's kind of like what Travis was saying, you know. Professor won't count it unless it's the easy way. Okay, anything else here before I blow this away? I don't know, is there anything else you want me to try or anything? I don't know. Yeah, well, catch me after class. We'll see what the deal is. See what, try and figure out what the deal is. Because at least then I know what I'm supposed to be trying to solve.
Or you could just help me figure it out under Ubuntu because I already have that working.
Oh, yeah, well, that's easy. Yeah, everything just works under Ubuntu. But at least I discovered this thing when I moved from Macs to Ubuntu, and the reason I did that was because Steve Jobs closed the source on the Intel kernel for a little while there. It looked like it was going to be forever. And I had used the kernel source before, and, you know, I was one of Steve Jobs or Apple's, you know, great fan of Apple stuff. And so, but when that happened, I'd used the kernel, you know, a number of times for a bunch of things, but Steve was mad about all these guys doing Hackintosh, you know, putting their OS X on their Dells or whatever, you know. And so that was a really sad thing for me, you know. I'm kind of like, I like open source things, and that's one thing I liked about the Mac. So anyway, I sent Steve Jobs an email, said, "So long, Steve." And I figured out what, you know, laptop would load, you know, Linux and seem to work and would sleep and a few, you know, trying the basic things working. And I loaded Linux on it. And so about 3 months later, he decided to open the source back up to the Intel kernel, because probably a whole bunch of guys like me did the same thing, right? Yeah. So long, Steve. And, you know, back then, especially at first, Apple really relied a lot on the open source business because they only had a limited number of developers, and there was just a ton of software available, open source software that could be ported to Mac, like Octave, right? And so they relied on open source developers. I mean, as time has gone on, they've kind of, you know, put more and more of the screws on, but not totally, like completely closing the source, you know. But anyway, I discovered when I went to Linux that all this GNU and open source, you know, GPL software, oh man, it's so much easier to make it work on a Linux machine. It's just, you know, sudo apt-get, whatever the package name, and there it is, and it works. And on Macs, you got to do a whole bunch of, you know, coding to make things work, make it work in Core Audio, you know, or whatever. You know, it's just so much easier to make it work. But, you know, it isn't as nice in some other ways as the Mac was, you know. The Mac has some very, very nice things for the very basic things you do. Oh, man, it's very easy, and everything's consistent, and everything is, you know, it's ergonomic.
If you want to change it.
Yeah, right. No, you can't change it. It's Apple, baby. They tell you how it's going to be. Okay, well, today we need to look at something you guys have probably already figured out, because I'm guessing it's close to finally due here, if it's not finally due already. Yeah, this Fourier series, right? And I've had a number of people come to my office, ask me how to do this, and it's not coming out, right? And they're using the Fourier series that we talked about for the odd function, kind of like if you slid this over, you know, the one made out of sines. Well, the problem with that is that this function right here is made up of both even and odd parts. It has an even part and an odd part. And so any function you can take, any function x of t, can be written as its even part, which is x of t plus x of minus t all over 2. That's an even function. Notice an even function, you know, xe of t is defined as xe of minus t. I mean, that's even, right? Oops, I can't write here. Even. And an odd function, xo of t, is defined as minus xo of minus t. In other words, if you swap the axis around, it makes the thing go upside down if it's odd, and if it's even, it's the same thing, right? And if we swap the axis around on this guy, it's not either one of those. So we can make it this guy. I'm going to call this is the even part, xe of t. And notice if I swap t to minus t, I get the same thing back again, right? And if I add the x odd of t, which is going to be x of t minus x of minus t all over 2, I add this guy to that guy, and I get x of t, right? And if you notice, when I swap t to minus t, I get minus x of minus that thing again, minus x of minus t, right? So if you add this guy to this guy, the second terms cancel out, the first terms add to x of t. So this is the even part of x of t, and that's the odd part of x of t. And every function, doesn't matter what it is, has its even part and its odd part, okay? It might be the odd part is 0 or the even part is 0, like the one we did in class before this, you know, before the homework. This one right here has a 0 odd part. It's all, I mean, 0 even part. It's all odd, all totally odd, right? And this thing we said, this guy we said, look, we're making it up of odd functions. Sine is an odd function, right? Well, I could have done this thing and shifted this over by half a period, and then it would be an even function, right? And what would I have done here? Would I have left this sine here?
Well, you could.
I could, but it wouldn't work. I'd end up with all zeros for the b's, right? It's kind of like this. You see, there's two parts to finding the series that works here. One of them is finding the coefficients. And that's basically using the inner product, the dot product, right? Finding the coefficient of the basis function here is like finding the dot product. It's like finding the coefficient of the unit vectors, right? Or actually basis vectors. But the second part of the thing is, are you sure that these basis functions right here really span the space that will make it actually equal this? In other words, it's kind of like when you were in linear algebra, you talked about spanning the space. Do you remember that business in linear algebra? Like if I have three-dimensional space, like we're walking around in three-dimensional space, this table here is, tabletop is in two-dimensional space, okay? If I have a vector like this pen right here is my vector, that pen has a component that's not in the plane of the tabletop here, right? And so the plane, the unit vectors in the tabletop, maybe this one and this one, will not span the space that's necessary to write this vector here, right? This vector has something in the z direction, and the unit vectors in the tabletop, the plane of the tabletop, don't have, they can't go, they don't cover that space, they don't span that space, right? And what's happening here is if I had an odd function here, this is an odd function, you can write odd functions in terms of odd functions, but you can never ever write an even function in terms of odd functions, right? It's because they're perpendicular. It's kind of like I can never ever write, you know, a vector which is in this direction straight up here in terms of the unit vectors that span the space of this tabletop, right? And so that's what's happening here, okay? And we can, we could note here, odd functions are orthogonal to even functions. How do I show that? Well, to take the dot product. So suppose I did this thing like this. Suppose we were looking at this thing, functions that were periodic, so we only need to look over one period, right? Man, did I not make enough? Let me see. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. I didn't make enough. So there's one more. Catch me after class. Who didn't get one? Drake didn't get one? Okay, so I owe Drake a handout. I just thought there was 12 in here, so. Okay, so anyway, I've got I've got this guy right here. I'm integrating. I'm looking only over the dimensions for a periodic function, or if you want, for a function that's only defined between minus t over 2 and t over 2. Okay, so I'm integrating over that vector space. And this integral is the dot product. And the dot product, what I'd like to do is write a dot product of xe of t, any even function, with xo of t. And I do this. This is the inner product of those two things. And for some of you guys, you know, you're also going to be taking quantum mechanics and physics. And what they would do is they would write that in this Braquette notation. This would be xe, and this would be xo. And that's how they would write it in quantum mechanics. And sometimes you will see this also written in some books on real analysis and whatnot. And they write it kind of like this. They write xe of t, comma, xo of t. And that means the same dot product. And we kind of wrote it like this, you know. X, what did I write? I wrote it xe, quotes, dot. Kind of like that, XO. I mean, it's the inner product. It's the inner product of, this is the inner product of the two functions. Okay. Well, let's see. Are they orthogonal? They would be orthogonal if this is zero, right? You can take the dot product between two vectors. If the dot product is zero, they're orthogonal, right? So let's check this out. So if I take an even function times an odd function, what kind of a function is that?
An oddly even function?
It's an odd function, right? Right? An odd times an even is an odd, is it not? Let me just give you a picture. Here is a time axis. Here is an even function, right? You agree? And here's zero. Okay, here is an odd function, right? If I multiply this function by that function, what do I get? Back to this function again, right? Odd function, right? Now, if I integrate an odd function over symmetric limits like this, like from here, minus t over 2, to over here, t over 2, I'm going to get 0. Thanks, Travis. So this equals 0 in this case, right? I mean, maybe I should say, you know, this guy right here, you know, goes to 0. Does that make sense? So that means the dot product between an even function and an odd function, or the inner product between these two functions, is 0. That means there is no component of an odd function in the direction of an even function. They're two separate spaces, right? They're kind of like the up here versus the plane, right? There's no component of up in the plane, right? Is that okay? I mean, that's the best I can do in 3D. But, you know, this is, you know, an infinite number of dimensions here, but the same thing, right? Okay, so if that's the case, in order to do this, you know, make this thing here, this black guy right here, you know, this vector right here out of everything, what I would need is I would need some unit vectors in the plane that would be on the desk here, plus I need some unit vectors in the other direction, right? Or at least, like in this case, one unit vector, right? So what we need, if we want to have a general function, we want a Fourier series for a general function, would look like this. So if x of t equals x of t plus capital T, and I should say meets the Dirichlet conditions, then what happens here? Then we could write x of t equals this summation here. We could do this either of two ways. I guess we'll start out n equals 1 to infinity of b sub n sine of t 2 pi nt over cap t. Now that is the odd part, but then I have to write the even part, and the even part could be written like this, n equals 0 to infinity, or I could go 1 to infinity and bring out the constant term. I could write it like this, a sub n cosine of 2 pi nt over cap t, right, like that. So in general, I need both the odd part, this is the odd part of the function, that's x o of t, and this is the even part right here, x e of t. Does that make sense to you guys? And these cosine waves are the basis functions that span the even part of x of t, and these sine functions are the basis functions that span the odd part of x of t, right? That's another way of saying it from linear algebra terms, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. So how would you find the new coefficients?
How did we find the old coefficients? Dot product, yeah. So basically, you do the dot product again, right? So let's go back and look what we did, okay? So what did we do? It's right here on this page, right here, right? So we said, how do we find the b's? Right here, right? So this is, how did we do this? Well, we looked back to vectors. We had the idea from vectors, which gave us the idea to do this. So what we did was take the inner product of both sides of this equation with the m, you know, m basis function, okay? So we took, and how do you do a dot product? Well, you take the x component times the x component plus the y component times the y component. Keep going till you run out of components, right? So our components are labeled by t. So x of t is the tth component of this square wave right here, okay? We took the tth component, we multiplied it by the tth component of the m, that's an m there, m basis function. I multiplied, you know, sine, this sine by x, so I'm multiplying the tth component of the basis function by the tth component of the x, and then I added them all up. That's the integral, right? So if I do that on the left-hand side, I have to do that on the right-hand side, right? So I did it on the right-hand side too, and somewhere down here we actually finished that off. I guess it was like the next day, finally. We've kind of been going slow here. So here it was. This is what I'd written on the left, and I changed the order of the integral and the sum, and so I ended up with this. And then we used a trig identity we got from Google. You know, sine of A sine of B is a half cosine of A minus B minus the cosine of A plus B. So we use that thing. And then we said, oh, this is easy to integrate a cosine wave. And look at this guy right here is going to be equal to 0 if n minus m is not equal to 0, right? Because we're integrating over an integer number of periods. And so this guy was 0 unless n equaled m, and this guy was always 0 because n and m were both positive, so you couldn't have n plus m be 0.
Wait, how is that 0 if n is not equal to m?
Because if n is not equal to m, it's like I'm integrating over an integer number, n minus m periods.
Mm-hmm.
And a sine wave is the same up as it is down. It's symmetrical, right? In other words, I could draw you a picture. Suppose n minus m was 1. It would look like this. I'd be integrating this thing from here to here. So this area was positive, and that area was negative, and I got 0 when I integrated from here to here. Right? That's if n minus m was 1. If n minus m was 2, there'd be 2 bumps. 2 bumps on top and 2 bumps on the bottom. N minus m is 3, it's 3 bumps. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's how this guy came to be 0 and that guy came to be 0. But if n equals m, then cosine of 0 is 1, right? And 1, when you integrate it from minus t over 2 to t over 2, gives you t, right?
So,
wait a minute, did I do that right? Is this supposed to be a t over 2? What did I do? Oh, there was this half from right there. Yeah.
Dr. Froney?
Mm-hmm.
So The other one is always zero because n plus m is never
zero. It's never, never zero because n and m are both positive. Remember, n and m on the sum, you know, we summed them where my sum was right.
Zero to.
From y, yeah, we went from, in most cases, it's over here. It goes, you know, over here it went zero to infinity. Here it went one to infinity, you know. So it was never negative.
And how do we determine again what the limits of the.
Of the sum
summation
were?
Are?
Well, here's what I did. I thought about this, what I know about sines, okay? Sine is an odd function. If I start making n negative, right, I'm really repeating what I had for n positive because sine of minus x is minus sine of x. So there's no purpose in putting it in there, right? I've already covered it, right? So I don't need to include those. And over here on cosine, I actually included zero because I wanted a constant term, like this is a constant right up here, right? I included zero there, but I didn't include any negative ones because cosine of minus x is the same as equal to cosine of plus x, right?
Wouldn't the n equals zero component just be an offset?
Yeah, yeah, it is, exactly. Okay. It's a DC component, offset component.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't you not want that if you're making square waves?
Well, a square wave could be offset, right?
Okay.
I mean, the one I drew there wasn't, but it could have been. In fact, actually, I made that one not because if it's an odd function, it can't be offset, right? And I was using an odd function over there. I was using just this term right here, right? And if I added that offset in, I would, man, I'm off by this constant here. This is not going to work. I don't have enough basis functions, right? And then I would have had to add that one odd one in there, I mean, even one in there. And so anyway. I very cleverly made it so it was no offset. I don't know, cleverly, or at least, you know, I wasn't telling you everything I was thinking, I guess, you know. So what happens is this thing right here becomes 1/2 times delta of nm times the integral, you know, minus t over 2 to t over 2 dt, which is just t. So this whole thing becomes t over 2 delta mn. And then when you sum this sum right here, only the mth term survives. You start out with n equals 1. And was m equal that number? Well, if not, then you're multiplying by 0 because this guy, only the n equals m term here gave us anything. Every other one was 0, right? All 0. So we would end up with this kind of thing. Finally, this is t times b sub m, and I just multiplied by t over 2 on both sides, and I got the equation for the b sub m. Now, all I need to do is modify this procedure a little bit to work with the cosines. Now, let's think about this with the cosines. Can you tell me what this integral is here? Oops, not wrong one. Can you tell me that answer? You guys are Wolfram Alpha now. About the simplest thing you can do. No, it's already written here on the board somewhere. Yes, sir! Wolfram Alpha comes through zero because this is odd and that's even, and we just showed that doesn't matter what they were, if they were odd and they were even, that happens, right?
Yeah.
Right. So that means every sine is orthogonal from the cosines, right? They're two different disjoint spaces, right? They're orthogonal. They're no part of them, any of the sines that are like cosines. So if we went through this whole thing and we did it with both the sines and the cosines, the terms, they would end up no component there, right? The whole thing would work, and go ahead and do it yourself. Work it out yourself very carefully. You know, do exactly what we did here, except put both sums in there with the A's and the B's, right? And you will find when you do that the A sub N equals, well, almost. A sub N equals, what's it going to equal? It's going to be what? And I want to do this for N equals 1, 2, 3, dot, 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 to infinity, okay? So, but I want to do A sub 0 specially, okay? The reason I want to do A sub 0 specially is because if I put in N equals 0 here, this is just going to be A sub N, right? And I wouldn't have this kind of an identity. I wouldn't have one sign times another sign. I would just have a sine times an A sub N, or cosine times an A sub N, right? And when N equals 0, you know, I'd have a two constants multiplied together, and I wouldn't actually end up with this. I mean, actually, N and M, if N and M are both 0, I got that term and that term, essentially, right? Right? So I'm going to get an extra half in there, if you want to think about it that way. But anyway, so for N equal 1, 2, 3, 4, what do you expect me to get here? Can you tell me? I mean, I'll help you up here. Remember, B sub N, I'll give you B sub M was 2 over T. The integral from minus T over 2 to T over 2, right? And it was X of T, right? Times sine of 2 pi m t over cap t dt, right? And so what is this guy going to be? Exactly. And so this would be x of t and then cosine of 2 pi m. No, I'm doing n now. N t over cap t dt. Now for a sub 0, it's just equal to 1 over t, the integral from minus t over 2 to t over 2, and x of t dt. Now what is that? Does that make sense? Let's just think. This is for n equals 0. Does this make sense? What is this saying here? Suppose this was the constant right here, right? Basically, it says, oh, take the average value of x. This is the average value of x, isn't it? That's what the DC offset is it not? Oh, well, shoot, yeah, I guess I could have written that down without even thinking, right? I mean, so that makes sense, okay? Is that all right? Is that all right? You can understand these two guys right here? And if you don't feel comfortable with this arm waving about it, sit down very carefully and work out the integrals. It will all come out like this, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, cool. Now we can write any function, even odd or not even or odd, as this. This is called the Fourier series here. So this is the Fourier series.
When you don't have that 2, it doesn't work.
Yes, it doesn't. Yes, that's correct. Well, it'll be 2 times too big, or 1 time too big, or something. 1/2 as big. Okay. So now we have, let's see, oh shoot, 25 after, I'm supposed to stop. I just got to have one last thing you got to think about. Just think about this. This complex form here. Could I write something like this? X of t equals, and I want to write some e to the j 2 pi n t over cap t, and n equals, and I'm going to have some, I don't know, c sub n's here. Now let's think about this. Do you remember? Remember cosine of theta equals e to the j theta plus e to the minus j theta over 2. Well, of course, cosine is the even part of e to the j theta. Oh, it's this function, this formula right here, right? Cosine theta is the even part of e to the j theta. And sine of theta is equal to e to the j theta minus, or maybe I could put even j sine theta is here, e to the minus j theta over 2. This would be the odd j sine theta is the odd part of e to the j theta, right? And so look it, we've got a plus and a minus there, a plus and a minus. And so if I just made this n go minus infinity to infinity, that would give me both the pluses and the minuses. Not over here, I had to go, you know, 0 to infinity, essentially, right? I mean, you could have put 0 in right here because sine of 0 is 0, right? So that would be okay. That wouldn't mess us up. Could you do this? This is the question. Could you?
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, this C sub n's might be a half of A sub n and half plus J, maybe J half B sub n or something. Maybe you could. And if you could, wouldn't it be interesting if these guys here were orthogonal? Well, they might be. And I like these guys. Maybe you guys didn't do this in circuits, but phasers were like, oh, they were so much easier than doing it the old-fashioned, you know, with the differential equation, finding the sinusoidal steady state, phasers were, oh yeah, so easy. Oh, these look like phasers here to me. Mm-hmm. And that's easier. I can do stuff with that, but these trig identities over here are sometimes, as you see, I have to go to, Google.
So, we can put that into octave counting.
Oh yes, you can. Yeah, it'll do e to the j thing just fine. It does complex numbers just fine. Ah, yes, that's great. So do you have any questions? You might want to, think about this a little bit. We'll work on that a little bit more next day. So any questions? Well, okay. I'll work on trying to find a copy of 10.5. Yeah.
I wasn't able to figure out how to plot this. Do you want me to?
But you can turn it in now and then turn in an addendum. So that's safest, right? See, you have a slight chance that the grader won't pick up the stuff until, you might get your addendum in, right? But don't hold on to this because you've already got something. Now that's points right there.
Yeah.
And if you don't turn it in now, you're running a risk of losing those. He wants to know whether he can turn this in later,
Well, I mean, the one that we did today.
Yeah, I don't know if this is this finally due today?
Oh, no, I mean, the one that you gave us to do today.
Yeah.
That's not.
The one that's due today isn't due today.
Yeah.
Can I take a quick question about it?
Sure.
This might show my ignorance of the whole thing. I plotted it. There's a formula in the book that had 4 over pi. That's what I ran sine. And if you have a sine wave, mm-hmm. and you want it to shift.
Yeah, and you just change t to t plus an eighth. That's correct. I was hoping you wouldn't see that, and you would do this way so that you could see this thing, too. But that is correct. Because we had the thing, what we basically had was we had this formula, except we had just t, not t plus an eighth. Basically what you did was you just shifted the axis over by an eighth. You got
would it. That be like when you're trying to describe a point with the table, like just lifting the table up?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's not the cheating way to do it, but that's...
Well, that's correct. Materials. It's the clever way to do it. I was just hoping that you wouldn't notice that and, would go through this method.
I'm missing the basics. What's the difference between an even and odd?
Well, this is like an odd function here. If you flip the axis, then... Well, no, what happens if you flip the axis around, right? Then it would be like this, right? And that thing is minus this thing. So that's the definition of an odd function. In other words, if you change t to minus t, that's flipping the axis like this, it makes the thing upside down. That's the minus sign, okay? An even function, if you flip the axis, it looks the same. Nothing happened. So let me take this constant function here, and I flip the axis. It's the same. But on this guy right here, when I flip the axis, he's upside down now. And in general, you can see if you take any of those, you know, an odd function plus an even function, you can make up any function out of those two things. There's those two parts.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
What's that? You need a handout. Yeah. Okay.
I have class from now to 5 essentially.
Okay. So, let me see whether I still have it open. Maybe I can print it and just quickly grab it on the way to class. Let's see.
Actually, I'm going to lunch, but
okay.
Lunch closes in
2 minutes. So let me just print here. File. Print. Print, print, print. So I'll just print one here. Okay. So it's up there. You can tell Renee it's coming out on the machine. I'll be right up.
Because I like
if I'm putting multiple plots in, you know, one figure,
yes.
Can I make this graph
at
take
this
up two
point
of them?
In the term, I won't switch.
You're using
it's a little smushed.
Right, yeah. And did you use subplot?
Yeah.
Kind of thinking about
the reason it's squished may have to do with your legend.
Yeah, but even if it only takes up this much, it's still pretty squished.
Right, I know. You can make it bigger by clicking this, you know, full size
yeah,
button here.
Yeah,
but
even then, it's still smushed. I was wondering if I could stretch it so it would take up two of the subplots. Because I've only got 3 graphs.
Oh, I see, I see. I haven't seen a way to do that right off.
Okay. Well, I can make it its own figure.
Right, yeah. You can do separate figures, yeah.
That's probably the only way.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah, right, yeah.
So, where are we supposed to submit our code?
Find software that
I need to set up a thing on Moodle, I guess, right? Yeah, I will do that.
I think it has something to do with the people that know what they're doing.
I just know that it turned on Moodle.
Yeah, right, I neglected to. This was, you need to you know how to get on Moodle? Maybe I need to show people how to get on Moodle.
Moodle.wallawalla.edu.
Yeah, right.
Send out an email.
Yeah, I can do that.
Or a YouTube tutorial.
Yeah.
Dr. Vernon?
Yeah.
When would be a good time for me to come over to your office tomorrow and see if you can help me work some problems?
Tomorrow is what, Thursday?
Tomorrow is Thursday.
Yeah. 8:30 until 10, I have staff meeting. Whatever, that's funny time, you know, I'm talking about regular time.
Right.
And then 2 until 5 or whatever, I'm in lab.
Mm-hmm.
So probably somewhere between 10 and 2. Thursday is like the busiest day for me, so. But that's my window right in there between 10 and 2.
But,
yeah.
I'll see if I can drop by.
You could also stop by, you know, and come see me in the lab, although things have been pretty busy there in the lab.
I just, you know, I'm not sure I'm understanding what's going on in the lecture.
Uh-huh.
And maybe if I can work a couple problems with you, then I'll
have a better
understanding.
Right, yeah. Okay, good.
Handouts are available.